الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views of the nation, welcome back once again to another episode of our silsila, O You Who Believe. In this silsila, in this series, we take a look at those verses of the Holy Qur'an in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called out to the believers with the beautiful address of Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O You Who Believe. In these beautiful verses of the Qur'an, our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most kind, Allah Azza wa Jalla in these verses of the Qur'an has called out to the believers with teachings and guidance for the benefit of the world and the hereafter. In these verses, Allah Almighty has highlighted goodness that the believers must implement, must obtain. And in some verses, which begin with these blessed words, Allah Almighty has highlighted and pointed out some evils, some negative things in society, which true believers must refrain from and abstain from. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode, we'll be looking at another verse which begins with the words Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe. Another topic, and insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, in the light of this topic, we'll be discussing some pearls of wisdom and pearls of knowledge to benefit us, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Before moving on to today's verse and today's topic, and share with you a blessing of Durood e Pak, of reciting peace and blessings, salawat, upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أدرك رمضان ولم يصمه فقد شقي. The one who finds Ramadan, the one who attains Ramadan, but does not fast, indeed is unfortunate. ومن أدرك والديه أو أحدهما فَلَمْ يَبَرَّهُ فَقَدْ شَقِيَ. The one who has both of his parents, or any one of them, but does not treat them well, does not treat them with kind conduct, is an unfortunate person. Indeed, he is unfortunate. And then the beloved Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَنْ ذُكِرْتُ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيَّ فَقَدْ شَقِيَ. And whoever I am mentioned in the presence of, and then he does not recite peace and blessings upon me, that person is unfortunate. So the person who fails to recite Durood Sharif when the blessed name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned has been declared as being unfortunate. And the truly fortunate ones are those who recite peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one narration, our beloved Prophet alaihi wasallam said that the closest person to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who recited the most Durood Sharif upon me in the world. The beloved Prophet ﷺ has declared Durood Pak, reciting peace and blessings upon him وسلم, as a means of closeness to him on the Day of Judgment. And the person who attains closeness to the Prophet ﷺ is the most fortunate person. So Durood Pak and recitation of peace and blessings upon the Prophet ﷺ is a means of attaining fortune in this world and the hereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. In the list of these three kinds of unfortunate people that were mentioned in this narration regarding salawat, regarding Durood Sharif, the first one was من أدرك رمضان, the one who finds the month of Ramadan and does not fast. The beloved Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام declared that person as being unfortunate. And the month of Ramadan and fasting in the month of Ramadan, fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificing the desire of eating and drinking for a certain amount of time, during the day in the month of Ramadan to attain great rewards from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that Allah Almighty has called the believers to in the Holy Quran, and where Allah Almighty has declared the obligation of fasting, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that fasting is fard, that fasting is obligatory. In that verse of the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty begins with the words, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. The verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 183, Allah Almighty states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been prescribed for you. Fasting has been made obligatory for you. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, like fasting was made obligatory upon those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become pious. Here, the scholars mention that fasting in the previous nations was different from the fasting of this ummah. They also had fasts which were obligatory upon them, and this ummah was also blessed with fasts which are obligatory upon us. Allah Almighty mentions that fasting has been made obligatory upon you. All you who believe, fasting has been made obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory upon those before you. So in the previous nations, it mentions that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam would fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of the month. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam used to fast every day. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam would fast every day and would never even miss a single fast. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam used to fast on alternate days. And Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to fast on the first three, the middle three, and the last 3 days of every month. In this particular verse, the scholars have discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when declaring fasting as obligatory upon the Muslims, the fasting of the month of Ramadan, Allah Almighty mentions, fasting has been declared obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory upon those before you. So that when people hear that the people of the past also used to fast, this will make the burden of fasting lighter for them. This will give them consolation that people in the past have fasted for the sake of Allah, have fasted and refrained from eating and drinking, have acted upon this means of worship, this act of worship. So if the people of the past could do it, then why can't we? If people of the past were able to fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can too. So this mention of the fasting of previous nations is meant as a means of consolation and a means of support and a means of motivation for the believers who are now being instructed to fast. After this, Allah Almighty said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can become pious. The scholars mention that here Allah Almighty has declared the reason for fasting, one of the many wisdoms of fasting. One of the many wisdoms of fasting is to attain piety, to attain consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason for this is because fasting, not eating and drinking, this kills shahawat, this kills lust, it kills the desires of a person. When a person isn't eating and drinking a lot, when a person refrains from eating and drinking for a certain amount of time, then a person's desires, a person's shahawat, a person's lust is diminished. And it is lust which is the source of sins. When a person's lust is diminished, when a person's lust is killed, then a person finds it much easier to refrain from sin, to refrain from those things which Allah Almighty has prohibited and forbidden. With regards to the obligation of fasting, it mentions that the beloved Prophet ﷺ spent some days of Ramadan in seclusion in the cave of Hira, where he ﷺ used to refrain from eating during the day and he would worship Allah Azza wa Jal at night. And in order to keep the memory of this blessed act of his beloved ﷺ alive, Allah Almighty made it fard upon us to fast in the entire month of Ramadan. Subhanallah. With regards to the blessings of Ramadan, with regards to the blessings of the month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan, the virtues of fasting, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared fasting as an obligation upon the Muslims, the benefits that fasting has for us. There are many, many narrations and many, many stories, many, many pearls of wisdom which teach us all of these things. With regards to the benefit of fasting, obviously the first and foremost benefit is that by acting upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty will be complete with us. We will attain the reward of the everlasting gardens of paradise, the eternal reward, the eternal blessings, the eternal bliss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the pious servants. But fasting doesn't just give us benefits in the hereafter. Fasting also gives us benefits in this world. Our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in a beautiful hadith, "Sumu tasihhu." Fast and you will become healthy. And fasting actually improves health. There's a misconception that if a person fasts then he falls ill. But in actual fact, this has nothing to do with reality. And people who do so fast in the wrong way. People who fast and after not eating for many, many hours, as soon as the sun goes down, as soon as it's the time of iftar, they eat fried foods, unhealthy foods, they eat foods which are full of fat, they consume fizzy drinks, sugary drinks. As a result of the excessive consumption of sugar, fat, cholesterol, things which are bad for the body, people fall ill. And then, unfortunately, some people, they end up blaming that ill health upon the fasting. Whereas in actual fact, the ill health was not as a result of the fasting, it was a result of the consumption of unhealthy food. When it comes to fasting, fasting is not detrimental to health, but rather fasting is beneficial for health. Our beloved Prophet ﷺ himself has declared, "Fast and you will become healthy." And he mentions in the Al-Malfuz of Imam Ahl Sunnah, Al-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions regarding him that he once saw his respected father, Imam Al-Mutakallimin, Sayyidina Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan rahimahullah, in his dream. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahimahullah, when he saw his father in the dream, it was a few weeks before Ramadan. And the father said to the son, "The son, you will fall severely ill in the following Ramadan. But be careful and make sure that you do not miss even a single fast." Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahimahullah, he says, "As my father predicted, I did fall severely ill in the month of Ramadan, but I did not miss even a single fast. And by the blessing of fasting, Allah Almighty granted me good health." Subhanallah. And then he quoted the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Sumu tasihhu." Fast and you will become healthy. This was the conviction and the belief and the certainty that our pious predecessors had in the blessed words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to fasting improving health, it's reported on the authority of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah azza wa jal sent a revelation to one of the prophets of Bani Israel, commanding him to inform his ummah that if anybody fasts one day for the pleasure of Allah, Allah Almighty will grant him good health and reward him greatly." So from this we learn that fasting, not only containing rewards for us, blessings for us, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only with fasting leads to attaining reward which will be beneficial for us in the hereafter, but fasting also benefits us in this world. And fasting brings good health. With regards to the reward for fasting in terms of good deeds, it's mentioned that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith in Sahih Muslim that for every act of piety, man is rewarded 10 to 700 times more. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said that for every act of piety, man is rewarded 10 to 700 times more. And Allah Almighty then says, "Except for fasting, because fasting is for me and I will give its reward." Subhanallah. The reason why fasting has been declared as being solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because fasting itself is something which nobody can see. When you're in a state of fasting, until you actually declare it to somebody, Nobody can see that you are fasting. If a person is performing salah, for example, performing namaz, then that act of worship can be seen. There's more chance of riyah, of ostentation, of showing off, creeping into that good deed. When a person fasts, that fasting is solely for the sake of Allah. When a person looks at him, the onlooker has no idea that that person is fasting. And this increases the sincerity of the act, and this is why Allah Almighty declares that fasting is for me, and I will give its reward. For other good deeds, he mentions 10 times, 100 times, up to 700 times more reward. But for fasting, there was no limit declared. There was no figure given. Allah Almighty just said, fasting is for me, and I will give its reward myself. Subhanallah. Allah Almighty also says, man refrains from satisfying his desires and eating food for my pleasure. There are two glad tidings for the person who fasts. One, at the time of sunset, and the other, when he meets his Lord. Subhanallah. Two glad tidings, two good pieces of good news for the fasting person. One, at the time of iftar, at the time of sunset, when opening the fast, and the other, subhanallah, at the time of meeting his Lord. And then he mentions that Allah Almighty likes the smell emanating, coming from the mouth of the fasting person, more than the fragrance of musk. Subhanallah. The special reward of fasting. He mentions that the one who fasts, abiding by the Sharia, acting upon the Sunnah, the one who avoids not only eating and drinking and those things which are forbidden during the fast, but also all sins, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, such a fast will compensate for all previous sins. The beloved Prophet ﷺ said, if anyone fasts in Ramadan, realizing its limits and avoiding what should be avoided, this will compensate for all of his previous sins. And the hadith, the portion of the hadith which says, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, that fasting is for me. Allah Almighty says, fasting is for me, and I will give its reward. Subhanallah. It's mentioned that some muhaddithin, some scholars of hadith, they have read this following hadith in the following way. They have said, rather than أَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, أَنَا أُجْزَى بِهِ. Meaning that this hadith has not been read in the active voice, but rather in the passive voice, which is also a permissible way of reading it, a permissible interpretation based on the grammatical structure of the hadith. So either the first interpretation of the hadith with the words أَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, I will give its reward, fasting is for me, and I will give its reward myself. But if it's read in the other way, with the passive voice, the other grammatical possibility, أَنَا أُجْزَى بِهِ, then the hadith means that fasting is for me. Allah Almighty says that fasting is for me, and I myself am its reward. Subhanallah. Allah Almighty Himself is the reward of the fasting person. So the ulama, the scholars say that the fasting person, the one who fasts for the sake of Allah, as a reward, he finds Allah Almighty Himself. Subhanallah. And when it comes to the blessings of fasting, he mentions that Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a door in paradise called Rayyan. On the Day of Judgment, this door will be open for those who fast, and nobody else will be allowed to enter through it. It will be announced, where are the people who used to fast? They will stand up, and no one else will be allowed to enter through this door. This door will be closed after they enter paradise. And Sayyidina Salama bin Qaisa radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that anybody who fasts for one day for the pleasure of Allah, Allah Almighty will move him as far away from hell as the distance a baby crow covers, flying continuously until it grows old and dies. Allahu Akbar. And he mentions that crows remain alive for a very long time, to the extent that a crow can live up to 500 years. So a baby crow, for those 500 years, continuously flying, when that baby crow flies and covers the distance of its entire lifetime, Allah Almighty moves the fasting person as far away from hell as that particular distance. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if anybody keeps even a single fast with silence and peace in Ramadan, Allah Almighty will build for him, will make for him a palace of red rubies and emeralds. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is zakah, there is charity for everything. And the zakah, the charity of your body, is fasting. And fasting is half of patience. The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also said that the sleeping of a fasting person is worship. His silence is tasbih. His prayers are answered and his deeds are accepted. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she narrates that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, if anybody is in a state of fasting in the morning, the gates of the sky are open for him. His body parts make the spear. The angels in the first sky pray for his forgiveness until sunset. If he offers one or two raka'at of salah, they become nur for him in the skies. The heavenly maidens who will be his wives say, Ya Allah, send him to us. We are anxious to see him. We are excited to see him. If he recites La ilaha illallah, or Subhanallah, or Allahu Akbar, 70,000 angels will write the reward for him until sunset. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one whose fasting prevents him from eating or drinking what he desires, Allah Almighty will make him eat heavenly fruits and have heavenly drinks. Allah Almighty will ensure that that person gains the fruits and the drinks of paradise. Subhanallah. And he also mentions that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, a dining mat made of gold, a special dining mat made of gold, will be laid out for those people who used to fast, while other people will still be waiting for their accountability. Subhanallah. At this time, while people are in rows waiting for their accountability, waiting for their hisab, waiting to give account, the people who used to fast will be blessed with special mercies, special bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. The views of Madani Channel, when it comes to fasting, when we learn that Allah Almighty calls out to the believer specifically and declares the obligation of fasting, and declares that fasting is a means of attaining piety, it's important for us to realize that fasting is not just about stopping eating and drinking. It's not just about stopping the fulfillment of our desires for a certain amount of time. Fasting has a spiritual aspect to it as well. He mentions that fasting, the beloved Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. That fasting doesn't just imply stopping eating and drinking, abstaining or refraining from eating and drinking. But also, fasting implies abstaining from useless and indecent talking as well. So if a person is fasting, and that person, at the same time that he's fasting, he's swearing, he's using foul language, he's talking indecently, that person hasn't understood the true purpose of the fast. He mentions, the scholars say, that in Ramadan, the fasting person, he avoids eating and drinking. And eating and drinking halal things, eating and drinking those halal things, which is permissible for him to do in any other day outside the month of Ramadan. So when in the month of Ramadan, even those things which were absolutely permissible during the day in other months, eating and drinking, when those things become unlawful, when those things become impermissible, when those permissible acts in the day in the month of Ramadan become impermissible, then what about those acts which were already haram, which were already forbidden, which were already impermissible? Backbiting, lying, telling tales, being suspicious, abusing people, watching films, listening to music, all these things. All of these things were already haram. So when during the day in the month of Ramadan, even permissible acts, which are permissible at other times of the year, eating and drinking, when they become impermissible, when the permissible becomes impermissible, then imagine how severe it would be with regards to those things which were already impermissible, which were already haram. It's also mentioned that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yada' qawla az-zuri wal 'amal," that whoever does not leave qawla az-zur, indecent talking, wal 'amala bihi, an evil action, falaysa lillahi hajatun fi an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharabahu, Allah Almighty does not need him to leave his food and drink. Allah Almighty does not need him to remain hungry and thirsty. It's important that we realize that fasting has different levels. The scholars mention that there are 3 degrees of fasting: the fasting of the common people, the fasting of the pious, and the fasting of the extremely pious. The fasting of the common people is just to abstain. To abstain from eating, drinking, and having intimate relations from dawn until sunset. This is the fast of the common people. In addition to abstaining from eating, drinking, and intimate relations, avoiding all types of evils, this is the fasting of the pious people. And to refrain, now the third level, meaning the fasting of the extremely pious, to refrain from all worldly activities, and to devote oneself completely to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the fasting of the extremely pious. And the scholars say that when fasting means abstinence, refraining, this has many conditions. A person does not just fast with his mouth and his stomach. A person does not just prevent his stomach from eating and drinking. Rather, a person should fast with the rest of his body parts as well. A person should fulfill the fasting of the eyes by preventing his eyes from looking at haram, looking at that which is forbidden. A person should act upon the fasting of the tongue by preventing his tongue from useless talking, from foul language. A person should act upon the fasting of the body parts by preventing his body from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the importance of fasting can also be understood by the punishments that lay in store for those people who do not fast. He mentions that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw some people who were tied upside down, hanging from the veins of their own ankles. Their jaws had been torn apart and they were bleeding. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I asked as to who they were, and I was told they used to break their fast before its due time." Scholars say that this hadith refers to the punishment of people who fast but then break their fast deliberately before sunset without a valid exemption. If this is the punishment for those who fast and then break their fast deliberately before sunset without a valid exemption, that they will be tied upside down with the veins of their own ankles, their jaws will be torn apart, ripped apart, and they will be bleeding, then imagine the severe punishment for those who do not fast at all in the month of Ramadan. Views of Madani channel, it's important for us to realize that fasting is an important obligation of our deen. Fasting is an important obligation of Islam. Fasting is one of those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as being an obligation, a pillar of our deen. From amongst the 5 pillars of Islam, one of those 5 pillars is fasting in the month of Ramadan. And it's possible that many people, especially when the fasts are long in the summer days, hot weather, people make excuses. And people only make excuses because they don't realize the virtue and the blessings of the month of Ramadan. To the extent that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said that if the people knew the blessings that are in them, the blessings that are contained in the month of Ramadan, if the people knew the blessings that the month of Ramadan holds for them, then they would wish and they would desire that Ramadan would last for the entire year. They would wish that the whole year was Ramadan. Such are the blessings of the month of Ramadan. And this is that month regarding which, on the day before the month of Ramadan, the last day of Sha'ban, we mentioned that the beloved Prophet ﷺ, he gathered the people. And he said to the people, "O people, an auspicious and blessed month has approached you. In this month, There is a night that is better than 1,000 months. One night which is better than 1,000 months, the night of Laylatul Qadr. Allah Azza wa Jal has made it fard to fast in the sacred month, to offer Taraweeh Salah in its night, the Sunnah. If you do a good deed in this month, it will be equivalent to carrying out a fard act in any other month. If you perform a fard act in this month, it will be equivalent to carrying out 70 fard acts in any other month. This is the month of patience, whose reward is paradise. This is the month of sympathy, and in this month, the believer's sustenance is increased. The beloved Prophet ﷺ continued and said, in this month, the one who serves a fasting person with something to do iftar will be forgiven for his sins, and his neck will be freed from the fire of hell, and he will be rewarded the same as the fasting person, without any reduction in the reward of the fasting person. The companions asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not all of us possess enough money to present a meal to the fasting person for iftar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, Allah Almighty will give this reward to the one who offers even a sip of milk, a date, or a sip of water to the fasting person, and the one who serves the fasting person with a meal, so that his stomach is filled, will be given water from my pond, the pond of Kawthar, such that he will never feel thirsty and will enter paradise. Then the beloved Prophet ﷺ declared that the first 10 days of this month are mercy, the middle 10 days are forgiveness, and the last 10 days are freedom from the fire of hell. One who treats his slave leniently in this month by not burdening him with heavy duties will be forgiven and freed from the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. These are the blessings of the month of Ramadan. And the beloved Prophet ﷺ in one narration declared that in Ramadan, my ummah has been given 5 special blessings, which were not given to any nation or to any prophet before me. Number 1, on the first night of Ramadan, Allah Almighty showers special mercy upon the people, upon the Muslims. And the one upon whom Allah Azza wa Jal showers special mercy upon will never be punished. Number 2, in the evening, Allah Almighty likes the smell emanating coming from the mouths of the fasting people more than even the fragrance of musk. Number 3, Allah Almighty makes His angels, the innocent angels of Allah, pray for the forgiveness of the fasting people every day and every night. Number 4, Allah Azza wa Jal orders paradise to be decorated, to be adorned for His righteous people, and says that soon they will be rid of the grief of the world and they will find peace, comfort and tranquility in my house and my bounties, meaning in paradise. Number 5, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the last night of Ramadan, Allah Almighty forgives them all. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings upon this ummah, the chosen nation of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This nation, which is the nation of the most beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are so fortunate and we're so lucky to be from this particular nation. This nation which was given this bounty, this blessing of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, whenever it comes, is a month that we should be looking forward to. It's narrated that Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, when the month of Ramadan would be approaching, then they would be getting ready for it. The houses would be buzzing with the sounds of the recitation of the Quran. He mentions that the Sahaba Ikram, for half of the year before Ramadan, they would be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they reach Ramadan. And for the half of the year after Ramadan, they will be praying to Allah Azza wa Jal to accept the good deeds that they did in the month of Ramadan. I mean, the entire year revolved around the blessed month of Ramadan. As Muslims, as believers, as people of faith, it's important for us to also establish the same feeling, the same passion, and the same enthusiasm, and the same love for the month of Ramadan in our hearts, the hearts of our family, the hearts of those Muslims around us. These are Madani Channel. It's important for us to realize the obligation of fasting and to realize the blessings that the month of Ramadan holds for us. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the month of Ramadan by name. And the month of Ramadan is the only month in the Holy Quran which has been mentioned by name. This is the fadila, the virtue of the month of Ramadan. It's the only month that has been mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. Allah Almighty describes the month of Ramadan in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185, Allah Almighty says, شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, in which the Quran was revealed, هدى للناس, the Quran which is a guidance for mankind, وبينات من الهدى, and clear signs of guidance, والفرقان, and a clear criterion to judge between right and wrong, the differentiator between right and wrong. After declaring the virtue of this month, that here the month of Ramadan is being declared as that month in which the Quran was revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the virtues of the Quran being a guidance, being clear signs, being the differentiator between right and wrong. And then Allah Almighty states, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ, whoever amongst you witnesses the month must fast in it. This teaches us the obligation of fasting and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared fasting as necessary upon the believers. And the month of Ramadan is a month of blessings, a month of mercies, and a month in which, if you stay tuned to Madani channel during the month of Ramadan, if you plan ahead for the month of Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, you take some time out from your work, from your business, you plan in advance, you book your holidays, for example, to ensure that during the month of Ramadan, you're able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're able to go that extra mile. You're able to perform those extra acts of worship. You're able to give extra charity, perform extra nawafil, recite the Quran on a daily basis. And even better, perform i'tikaf of the whole month of Ramadan. Spend the whole month of Ramadan in the masjid, in the house of Allah. Alhamdulillah, in the environment of Dawat Islami, such i'tikafs are arranged. I'tikafs for the entire month of Ramadan, where a person can come in this month of Ramadan, come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, present himself in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And the meaning of i'tikaf, that the scholars tell us, the intention that a person should have when he performs i'tikaf, is that he comes and presents himself in the house of Allah. And it's as if he's saying, Ya Allah, I will not leave until you forgive all of my sins. And at the end of the month, when the person leaves i'tikaf, he leaves with all of his sins forgiven. If you can't do i'tikaf for the whole month, maybe that might be too difficult because of responsibilities. That might not be possible for you. At least for the last 10 days, try to perform i'tikaf in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami. In the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, the i'tikaf that is held has its own special blessings. It's not just i'tikaf, it's not just spending time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the blessed month of Ramadan, but also teachings of Islam, the basics of Islam are covered. You come out after i'tikaf, not only feeling spiritually blessed, not only feeling spiritually cleansed, not only with your sins forgiven, but also with piles and piles of knowledge, with ilm, with new pearls of wisdom, having corrected many misconceptions that you might have had, with an opportunity to fix up the basics of Islam that maybe you didn't have the opportunity to learn when you were younger. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to learn at an earlier stage in your life. So attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami. And in the environment of Dawat Islami, we also see with the Madani Muzakaras of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Aliya, what the true love of Ramadan is, the true passion and the enthusiasm for the month of Ramadan, and the love that a true believer should have for this blessed month. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to value the month of Ramadan, to worship Allah Almighty in the month of Ramadan, to fast in the month of Ramadan as we should fast, and to reach the highest level of fasting in order to gain the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam.